All right, Shilin and Edmund, thank you so much for joining us. Inside Scoop needs no introduction, I would say.
Hopefully.
It's a well-known brand for Malaysia. But let's talk about the journey since the late December 2013 up until right now. How has it been for Inside Scoop?
I think we've been very blessed with the support that we have received in Malaysia. When we first started Inside Scoop in Malaysia, right, in December 2013, the premium ice cream category was served by foreign brands.
Yes.
It was only foreign brands, right? Of size, of scale. And we thought that there is no reason why a Malaysian brand can't make those ice creams of that similar quality using Malaysian ingredients with the flavor profiles that Malaysians like. It just doesn't make any sense. So we felt that there was a gap for us to be able to do that. And you couple that together with the more social aspects, right? Like people development, job creation opportunities, and we couple that together, and that's how we started the Inside Scoop in December 2013.
Yeah. For sure. Could you share with us in December 2013 how the idea came about, you know, to introduce Inside Scoop in Malaysia?
Okay, so I really love ice cream. Like
growing
up,
really do. Like
after school, while waiting for my sister, I think I ate 5 sticks at one point.
Wow.
My mom would just let me do whatever I wanted. Anyway, so I really, really love ice cream, and he wanted to build me an ice cream empire, but then he decided I should work for it.
So, you should earn it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at that point in time, I was trying to convince her. We were not married yet, right? We were not married yet. Let's work on ice cream together. Mm. But after we got married, Sendiri, please come and make the ice cream on your own. So that's the story behind it.
Can you share some of the insights of the Inside Scoop's business model, because and how it basically evolved over time? Because the competition is also quite fierce in the market.
So when we started Inside Scoop, we were on a mission to create happy memories for our customers. Mm. It was not only just a product that we wanted to have that was great. We wanted to have warm customer service and a great store experience as well. And so we make our own ice cream. So we thought, why do we limit ourselves to just the classic flavors? Malaysia has so much inspiration, like local delights that we can use, like teh tarik, durian, cempedak. So we spun that into ice cream. In a customer point of view, like for me, ice cream is a very happy product, right?
It
so
is.
When you walk into a store, you want to get ice cream. You don't want to come out feeling unhappy. That is like disastrous.
Yeah.
So we equip our stores, our staff in the store, to make sure that if they see a frown, they need to turn that upside down.
Mm.
Like, so the customer leaves happy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the business itself.
Sure.
Now, Farm Fresh acquired you guys 53%, right?
Stake? 65%
of Inside Scoop. What's the strategy like after the being acquired by Farm Fresh?
I think when we look at acquisition, in this scenario, we're looking at it as growth capital. I think we started the brand in December 2013, and we brought it to a stage where we can still continue doing what we're doing.
Mm.
That means opening new stores. But we wanted to challenge ourselves to see, is there a possibility that we can go one step further and make, like, you know, more accessible products for all Malaysians, not just opening premium ice cream shops. So we're thinking of, you know, packaged ice cream, we're thinking of sticks, we're thinking of cones, we're thinking of tubs. And trying to do that requires both capital and technical skill. And that's where I think the Farm Fresh team can really help us, and we see that as very synergistic. So with the Farm Fresh partnership or the investment in us, we're hoping to be able to do, you know, stick ice creams, packaged goods, and be accessible to all Malaysians, not just carrying the Inside Scoop name, but possibly carrying the Farm Fresh name that can cater to a larger spectrum of Malaysians. So no longer do you have to only
look for an Inside Scoop store. You'll be able to buy like petrol stations, mini markets.
Hopefully.
But
that's what we're looking to.
It is still in the urban area market for Inside Scoop, or do you have any expansion plan to go, you know, outside of the urban market?
I mean, today our stores are largely in urban or larger cities.
Mm. Mm.
We are not accessible across the entire Malaysia.
Yes.
So our vision is to be able to share that particular product or that particular happy feeling when you get that. You know, when you're eating ice cream, right? Like that, really, like you just quiet senyap-senyap, you eat there, and then you really enjoy the product. We wanted to be able to share that feeling across all Malaysians, not just in Klang Valley or in larger towns. Making that packaged products accessible is very important.
I gotta ask this question in light of higher cost of living and higher raw material cost as well. How do you balance this out for Inside Scoop as well?
I think the point that we made earlier, which was ice cream is not a need. It is a want. It's an indulgent product. If I don't have to, I actually can. If times are really tough, I can save on ice cream. But to a certain extent, ice cream also helps with sanity. It also helps with happiness.
It's an everyday luxury, right?
And even if you have it once every 2 or 3 weeks, it's just that moment where you treat yourself and it helps you escape. And that's what we want to be able to give to a lot of Malaysians, right? It doesn't have to be a really expensive scoop of ice cream. It can also be something accessible, something cheaper, something that gives people of different income groups, different enjoyment. I don't see why that has to be an elitist dessert or anything, right? We want to make it more accessible to everyone.
Yeah. I've seen some of the small local brand, they come out with the local, taste in terms of ice cream and all that. But you, Inside Scoop story is very interesting because you managed to compete directly with the other outside brand. Haagen-Dazs, Baskin-Robbins in a sense. But how did you manage to do that? I know it's some of the strategy you've mentioned before, but it's a wonder story, if you can share that.
The first point is there is no reason why our quality or the access to our raw materials is inferior to an imported brand.
Yeah.
The second of all is freshness. Mm. When you eat an Inside Scoop product today, it's probably made how many days ago? 3-4 days ago maximum.
Yeah, because we make our product locally, right? We don't import it. So from making it, the milk comes fresh from the farm, and then by the time we make it, it gets to the store, it's a week in compared to being imported, I guess.
Yes. So the freshness of the product is there. The flavor profile, for example, us making flavors that Malaysians can relate to. Cempedak, durian,
teh tarik, onde.
Those are some of the things that allows us to make a difference or an impact to our customers that some of the foreign brands, I mean, they're mostly around chocolate, vanilla, and of course they have seasonal specials as well. But we well and truly embody the taste that is local.
I want to get your point of view on the business industry and ecosystem as a whole. Because you started in 2013 as a small brand to where you are right now, right? But how do you see in terms of policies, what kind of policies that we need right now in supporting small businesses to propel further and to grow further and based on your point of view and experience?
Yeah, I think when you start a business, you first of all have to realize that it's not just about passion.
Yeah,
it's great if you're passionate about the product. That's one thing, but you still need to equip and instill some values, working values in yourself. Running a business is hard work, right? You need dedication. You work really, really hard, and people say, "Yeah, it's all for your company. It's great." But if you're like halfway cleaning the grease trap, and someone tells you that, it doesn't really make your life feel much better.
Yeah.
And they go like, "Oh, you have flexible hours, but there are times you just have to drop everything, and it's like really and attend to matter." So it's more like inflexible flexibility.
Yes.
But yeah, you definitely need support from. Like your peer group, because they would understand, like other people in the same business in the industry, because they'll understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
Are you asking also from a governmental standpoint or investing?
The things that you want.
Like politics and.
The policies from the government. Government needs to borrow, right? Policies that, to make it easy in terms of access to financing and supporting more entrepreneurship and also businesses, businesses.
I think SMEs are. The lifeblood of Malaysia, actually in most countries.
Backbone
of most countries, right? We play a role in terms of providing services, a lot of services to people. We also play a role as an employer. But unfortunately for SMEs, we are also self-funded. It's mostly from the entrepreneur or the owner's own personal savings. So some level of access to financing is great. But also leveling the playing field, right? That means we don't just let people with a lot of access to capital able to start business, and people with no access to capital start business. So some level of training on how we can help the more disadvantaged, financing for the more disadvantaged or the smaller businesses is very important. We don't talk about subsidizing the business. We talk about teaching them how to run a business profitably, and that's the most important thing. Everybody has to recognize that when you run a business, it is for profit, and the financing that you are able to raise must be at commercial terms as well.
Yes.
So I would say financing at commercial terms to ensure business sustainability rather than just a handout, so that it levels the playing field for everyone, because some people may have access to, or because I know somebody, I can get this financing. It should be a very level playing field.
Yes, correct.
Based on merit.
That's the first thing. The second one is also, I think, more transparent policies when it comes to transparent implementation of policies. Sometimes it's a bit hard to navigate. As a new business owner, it's a bit hard to navigate, you know, what works and what doesn't work, and it's sometimes a trial and error, right?
Yeah. Also, what rules and licenses that you may have to hold, it's not so clear.
I wouldn't say it's not so clear. It's a bit, it does require an investment in time.
Yeah.
So, you know, some courses that can help to make it more easier for people to start, I think, because the policies are there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes
just
it's just all over the
shop,
place.
So
there's no integrated.
Yeah. Always talk about this one-stop center for.
Yes, I think
like
that
what
really
do you need to do when you start a business? Maybe all.
So you know, based on your business, which financing is suitable for you and all that, right? So one-stop center.
Yeah.
And I also want to get, because Malaysia, we want to produce more entrepreneurs in Malaysia, but we also need to, you know, back up in terms of our education system. You have a lot of, your journey, it's quite a journey since 2013, so you've seen the industry and the challenges in the industry. What's needed to be done in terms of education so that we can produce more of quality entrepreneurs that can prepare themselves to face all these challenges in the industry, based on your experience and point of view?
Okay, we don't know the education system very well because we don't have kids of that age yet, but just from seeing, we probably need to make it like maybe evolve the system, the syllabus a little bit, and to have something that is more practical for that they can apply to when they go out to the real world, instead of like just rote learning things. Yeah.
Some of the learning cultures are a bit dated. I think they were suited at that point in time, but maybe we're not progressive enough in that evolution, so we can move a bit faster and be a bit more relevant in today's day and age. There are also smaller things, for example, more practical applications of the knowledge that we can use. For example, we have Malaysia has a lot of natural resources, but we don't have very high end or we have very limited high end engineering, for example.
Yes.
It is largely still a labor cost competitive driven market as opposed to leading the field when it comes to research. And also manufacturing. There are some, especially in the SME sector, if you talk about the large corporates, you know, they can go and negotiate with government to do certain tax breaks, make large investment in plants. But in the SME sector, where we rely on more, creative solutioning more practical solutioning, right? That one, we are not competitive. We have budget constraints.
Most of the MSMEs in Malaysia would agree with your point. That's the thing that we need to focus on. I want to talk about one of the speakers at the KMF, right? Kazana Mega Trend. And you bring all, we talk a lot about sustainability in KMF as well, and also sustainable growth in Kazakh Mega Trends. But you bring and you brought your own narrative from Inside Scoop. So if you could share with us, how do you see the whole Mega Trends as an event, and also your narrative could support the sustainable growth agenda or the initiative that we want to achieve as a country?
I think for us, not just us, in all sectors, right? Growth of a company is growth of people. Growth of people is growth of talent, right? We have generally a fairly good education system still. People can still read, people can read very well, people can write very, very well. Most people are at least dual language, if not dual lingual, if not trilingual.
Yes.
So we've got a very good backbone. But a lot of people have also not been given good opportunities because SMEs and our sectors are a lot smaller. Post-graduation, the employers, us included, sometimes we don't invest enough in people's development or career development over a longer period.
Yeah.
I think fresh graduates, when they come, it is to a certain extent their responsibility to learn before they join us, but it's also our responsibility as an employer to develop their skill set over time and make sure that we continue to challenge them. And of course, at some point in time, how do we balance that out together with profitability? Because as an employer, we benefit from people working with us. But sometimes as an employer, it's easier if we don't train them. It's cheaper if we don't train them even, right? So we have to balance that out and make sure that as employers, we continue to challenge them and get this group of people to continue growing with the organization. Yeah, I think that's very, very important. Yeah.
For Inside Scoop, it's something that you've
done. I think we do it in our small little way.
We are
not a large organization or a large corporate company, right?
But yeah, so we don't have like structured training modules, but we would like to instill some values in them, like the one he said earlier in the KMF thing, like punching above your weight. I mean, there's always going to be budget constraints and also we don't like, let's not just use the full budget to do something. Like, let's try to think of using creative solutions.
Yeah.
Creative and also solutions. Getting a bang for your buck. Like, is this worth it? Are we doing what? How does it impact? So we always question them to make them think about it. Like, does it really excite you if you put that thing up? Really, or is it? Everyone does that and we just want to do it because everyone does it.
Yeah, so you don't want to be in the Me Too business.
Yeah.
Just because the other person is doing it, I also want to do it the same way. Like what Shuli mentioned.
Yeah. So we make them question whether does it have an impact. No impact, out of the door. Spend the money on something else. Yeah. High impact things.
Yeah. I think a fixed process doesn't work anymore. Not in today's age where everybody can learn anything on YouTube. Almost, right? It's about who fine-tunes a bit better, and we try and impart that process or that thought process into our team members. How to punch above your weight, how to be more innovative in your solutioning,
how to be quick and nimble,
how to be fast. Those are things that a lot of people talk about, but we sometimes also struggle to implement. So we are just constantly trying to implement that process and that mindset into our team members. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, our final questions. Expansion. I know you mentioned some of the plans just now, but expansion plan for Inside Scoop. Can we expect more branches, or are you embarking into distributing via a petrol station or other avenues?
We're definitely expanding our Inside Scoop stores. We are only in like a few states in Peninsula Malaysia. There are a lot of places we haven't covered, and also we know that not everyone have heard of us yet. Yeah. So we'd like to make it accessible to all of them. You said, we are also looking at creating a new line so that all Malaysians of different income levels can enjoy the ice cream.
All right. Edmund and Shuling, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And I wish you all the best and good luck for Inside Scoop.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Najib. Thank you.